Coming to you from the Grey Moon Studios just outside Atlanta, Georgia, for a third season. This is Trice Talk, a conservative political and social issue podcast that's not just for conservatives. We don't try to tell you what to think. We just want to see if you're paying attention. For the next hour and a half, we hope to stimulate, motivate, aggravate, and enlighten you. Now, here's your host, a guy that's been paying attention since Ronald Reagan beat Jimmy Carter in 79, Grey Moon himself, Donald Wayne.
Welcome to another episode of Trice Talk for a Friday night, January 27, 2023. I'm your host, Donald Wayne, old Grey Moon himself, and hopefully you won't dwell on the old part of that. One of these days, I'll kind of explain to you what the Grey Moon is all about, but not tonight. Anybody else besides me feel like the month of January has just flown by? I mean, January the 27th, can you imagine that we would already be at this point so quickly? I mean, we're knocking on the door of February, and the next thing you know, it's going to be time to drag out the summer clothes. I'm not ready for that. Of course, here in the South, sometimes you can't really tell what month of the year it is anyway, because a lot of people continue to wear shorts and t-shirts in the wintertime here. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the grocery store. Even last month in December, when we had a couple of cold spells, I'd get out and go to the store, and there would be people coming out of the grocery store in shorts and t-shirts. They might have a, you know, like a little vesty kind of jacket on, but that's it. So, you know, down here in the South, as long as the sun is shining, there's always going to be somebody that's going to be dressing like it's summertime. Not me. I enjoy wearing winter clothes. I get to wear some of the stuff that I can't wear, obviously, in the summertime, you know, like my cowboy jerseys and my Alabama jerseys, and I got one for Texas too. I think I do. So anyway, I like wearing those things, and you can't do that in the summer. So anyway, I hope all you guys are in a good place tonight. And by saying guys, I don't mean that in a gender specific way. So please don't take offense to the use of the word guys. That used to be an acceptable way of addressing a group of people that would cover both men and women. I mean, however, I realize in today's politically correct environment, some people tend to micromanage every word that they hear or even read. So, but I can save you a little time right here. I can tell you right now that if a word like guys is going to be offensive to you, then you're really not going to want to listen to Trice Talk. So go ahead and find yourself a politically, socially woke podcast that will stroke your ego and agenda, because it's not going to happen here. I mean, I'll never intentionally try to offend anyone, any person or group of people. I don't intend to micromanage my subjects or my speech on this podcast in such a manner as to make sure that no one takes issue with what I say. Now, I micromanage my language the best I can, because this isn't I don't think it's called X-rated. Forgot what the category was now, but maybe extreme. But I will not be talking, I will not be using a lot of language that's used on some other podcasts, and I don't have a problem with them using it. It's just, I try to make my time here behind the microphone something that's somewhat family friendly. I mean, you know, there's occasionally I'll throw something out there that probably you wouldn't want little Bobby to hear, but, or Susie or whoever, but, by and large, I try to keep it somewhat family friendly, because I think it's important to get messages across to different age groups if we're going to have a chance of correcting a lot of the ills that we're experiencing in the country today. So, you know, I will micromanage that, but I'm not going to micromanage words like guys to fit in with the socially politically correct demands that seem to be prevalent out there in society today. So having said that, anybody's certainly welcome to listen and criticize me as much as you'd like to. I mean, after all, it's your dime and you can spend it any way you like. All right. Before I move on to the issues I want to address tonight, the main part of the show, I just want to update you on something about this podcast. I mean, if you listened to the first episode this season, you heard me lay out the plans that I have for the show, right? Unfortunately, technical and logistical issues have slowed me down and really made it necessary for me to move the goalpost on those plans. So until that time where I can get all the pieces of the puzzle in place the way I want them and to be able to do the things that I want to do with the show, I'm going to keep doing these recorded podcasts periodically. Just one, to keep in practice of doing the show, but two, because I have things that I want to talk about and some of them are somewhat time sensitive. So, you know, I don't want to wait till 3 or 4 more weeks down the road before I can talk about some things that are going on today. So, I'll post shows, you know, not on a regular basis, but I'll post as many as I can as I come up with material that I want to put out there. All right, I have one more item I want to inject before I move on. Let me see. I'm trying to set something up here, so it's not that I don't know what I'm doing. It's just I'm trying to do two things at once. But today being January the 27th, I want to wish my son and former TriStalk co-host and TriStalk co-founder, actually, as well, Dennis Lee, a happy birthday today. And I thought I would play this little ditty to celebrate that.
And drink a lot of beer. You should be good and happy that there's someone you can eat. A million people every day are starving in the street. Your daddy's in the gutter with the wretched and the poor. Your mama's in the kitchen with a can of Cycle 4. There's garbage in the water and poison in the sky. I guess it won't be long before we're all gonna die.
Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Wow! Okay, that one... That one goes on for a bit. Actually, I was going to do Happy Birthday by the Beatles, but I thought the Weird Al Yankovic version was probably a little more appropriate for Dennis Lee, since he and I always were cutting up with each other about stuff anyway. But I won't share your age. I won't share your age. I won't share his age with you. Let me get that in correct order. But let's just say if he had hair on top of his head, it would be gray. So you can just kind of take that any way you'd like. But anyway, please join me in wishing him a happy birthday today and a whole lot more to come. All right. Excuse me. I'm going to have have a little bit of liquid here to go on. It seems like, well, you know, this time of the year when we're having to run the heat, it's very difficult sometimes not to to dry out. Oop, drop that. So, all right, now let's talk about wasting money. Mine and yours. I'm bringing up this first subject tonight because It was a part of the $1.7 trillion omnibus bill that Congress passed just before Christmas break last month. And I think I've talked about a couple of things about that. And of course, I complained about it, I believe, in the very first episode of this season. But, you know, now I'm going to start picking some of the things that were in there that really pissed me off. And then there's a bunch, because I think there's over 160 or 80 something different tack-ons that rode this bill to passage. You know, the bill that was supposed to be something that they had to pass in order for the government not to be shut down, for the Social Security checks to go out, for the military to get paid, you know, all that crap that they say every year. Well, okay. It's amazing to me that they do this every year, and I've said this before, that we allow them to keep doing this, but this bill they say they have to pass in order to keep the government open, then they throw all this other crap in there, and we let them do it. Now, yes, these individual things benefit just small segments of the country. And so there are people that are happy that these things get passed. But here's the kicker. They shouldn't be passed. They wouldn't be passed if they were put out there by themselves. And that's the telltale thing. Very few of these things, if they were put out there alone as a bill that everybody had to vote on, they probably wouldn't get passed. And why we let them keep doing that, I don't know. I do not know. You know, I really think that the average Democrat and the average Republican are not probably that far off from, you know, their feelings about at least taxes anyway, and the way the government spends the money. I don't think the average ones are, at least the people that are, you know, working hard and making it, you know, doing their best they can for their families and doing, being responsible in how they spend their money and how they plan for the future. And of course, then there's a lot of people that can't plan a lot for the future because they don't make enough money. But I just think we're probably not that far apart on things like this, where the government is just throwing millions and millions of dollars at things that really should never be passed, and we shouldn't have to be paying for them with our tax money. But anyway, on one of the 4,000 plus pages of the omnibus bill, I don't know why that's so hard to say, included $3.6 million in federal money earmarked for a project called the Michelle Obama Trail Extension. Now, what I didn't realize the first time that I heard that, because we heard about some of these things before they actually passed the bill. And of course, I was already pissed off before the vote came up. And I find it hard to believe that there were some really well-known Republicans that also voted for this thing. But I didn't realize that since most of the news reports about this issue only referred to the $3.6 million going to the Michelle Obama Trail, I thought they were creating a new trail. And I thought it was, you know, I figured it was somewhere up, you know, somewhere where they're living or their original home or something. I think it was in Illinois, or was it Michigan? I'm not sure where he was a senator or whatever. But I didn't realize that the stupid thing's going to be down here in Georgia. Now, actually, I say it's going to be in Atlanta, outside of Atlanta, to be exact. But I never did hear the word extension being used, which almost means to me it makes it worse, because it means there's already a trail there, and they want to make it longer. So they think it's worth, in this economy with so many people hurting, to spend $3.6 million to extend this Michelle Obama Trail. Of course, now that I read the story today, I realize that this extension is part of a 5 mile long trail in southern DeKalb County, which is a county that's adjacent to Fulton County, and it's to the east of Atlanta. It's a fairly large county, but the trail itself falls within U.S. Representative Hank Johnson's district. Old Hank, and yes, he is a Democrat, of course. So he was very much involved in pushing to get this trail. Now it kind of makes sense to me why Biden came to Atlanta a couple of times. I think he was here after, I think he's been here twice since the election, I believe. But anyway, the original 3.8-mile stretch of the trail, which connects Georgia State University here at Clarkston campus to a place called Gresham Park, and that was completed in 2018. So the original section of the trail was actually approved in 2016, and it was called something else at that time, but they decided in 2016, and of course this was as Obama was leaving office, that they would decide, they decided to call it Michelle Obama, name it after Michelle Obama. And then they opened another 2.2 miles of the trail back in 2021. So this $3.6 million would be used to add another 4.5 miles to the trail. And when this portion is completed, it will join with another existing trail that connects with a path that goes up to a place called Arabia Mountain here in southern DeKalb County. I believe it's all in southern DeKalb, but, you know, not that it matters to any of y'all probably, unless you live here in Georgia. But of course, the folks involved in the project won't be finished when this money runs out. They have plans to build more trail in the future so that it will ultimately connect to the Atlanta Beltline, which was something that has, I don't know if it's been completed or not, but it was put into motion several years ago. And it is something that seems to be quite popular in Atlanta, even though there have been some muggings, I believe, on the trail. Over the years since it was completed, more or less. Anyway, DeKalb County Commissioner Larry Johnson, who is also involved in the project, moving, said, "We're going to be able to have one of the most extensive trails in Metro Atlanta." Now, unless you know anything about Georgia and Atlanta, one of the things that I liked about Atlanta when I moved here, you know, gosh, many moons ago from Texas, is places like Stone Mountain, which is also east of Atlanta, and it's a very popular, or has been over the years, a very popular tourist attraction. It's one of the largest granite monoliths, I believe, in the eastern part of the United States. But all around Atlanta and all around North Georgia especially, there's all kinds of trails. All kinds of hiking trails, biking trails, trails that you can take motorbikes to, and so forth. It's a very outdoor oriented state in that respect. And there's already existing a lot of outdoor trails and so forth in DeKalb County, but this seems to be something that they think is worth spending another $3.6 million on right now, with everything sucking as much as it does in our economy. But so that seemed to be an important thing to County Commissioner Larry Johnson, that we're going to have one of the most extensive trails in Metro Atlanta. Congressman Johnson again wrote in a recent tweet that he was proud to secure funding for critical projects like the Obama Trail Extension. Okay, now it's my turn. And if y'all listened last year, and if you listened in 2016 when we first started Tristalk, I was never a fan of Barack Obama. You know, I could care less about Michelle Obama one way or the other, but there were times that she said things that didn't quite sit well with me. But of course, then, you know, I voted for a guy that said things that didn't sit quite well with a lot of people in the country the 4 years he was in office. But, you know, Michelle Obama is the person. What got me was the time I heard her say, "This is the first time I've been proud of America." And that was when her husband was elected as president. So mainly for political and ideological reasons, I just never was an Obama fan. But my opposition to spend the $3.6 million on this pork barrel trail project has nothing to do with whose name is on it. And I know some people may find that hard to believe. I don't care. I don't care if it were called the Trump Trail or the Bush Byway, you know, for George Bush. So let me make that clear. Not Bush beer or anything like that. The only reason the people put Michelle Obama's name on that trail, as far as I'm concerned, is so they had a better chance of getting funding, so it'd get more attention. You know, if you want something to attract a certain group of people or donors or so forth in this country, you know, put somebody's name on there that you think will draw that money in, which probably is a smart thing to do. Also, they could blame any opposition. You know, if they put Michelle Obama's name on there, they can blame any opposition to spending the money on the project because of racism or because you didn't support Barack Obama when he was in office. But of course, no, that's just my opinion. I mean, we have representatives in Washington, D.C. that tell us we don't have enough money for Social Security. We don't have enough money for Medicare payments in the near future. Yet we're going to spend $3.6 million on another freaking hiking, jogging, biking, whatever the hell they want to use it for, trail in the Atlanta area when you've already got 5 miles of trail there. Doesn't make sense to me. Not right now in this environment. Plus, you know, like I said, Atlanta has all kinds of hiking and nature areas for people to utilize. And, you know, you may actually have to get in your car and drive to one of them, but, you know, that's not the job of the American taxpayer to provide people with a jogging and hiking trail outside their freaking front door. It's, you know, that's part of the exercise, getting to the damn thing. And if it's such a necessity for this community in DeKalb County, this area in DeKalb County, Georgia, to have this trail or extend this trail, they already have a damn trail, right? If it's that big a deal, then go raise the money locally. You know, there's lots of money in Georgia. There's lots of people here in Georgia that have plenty of money that they can contribute to a project like this. But yet they want to go and get funding from the federal government. So I don't even know if there's a private money going towards this as well. But as I've said before on other issues, people outside the states where these kinds of projects are proposed should not have to work and pay taxes so people in DeKalb County, Georgia can have a freaking 22-mile trail within close proximity to where they live. I mean, if I lived in Seattle, Washington, I'd be pissed off if I knew my tax dollars were being spent to build this freaking trail in Atlanta, Georgia, especially with all the other trails that are here available to people to use. Again, you have to get in your car and you have to drive there or get there however, whatever method you have. But it seems to be a thing. Somehow, how did we get to this point where we think that everybody in the country should pay for pet projects in individual states? That is not what our federal tax money is supposed to be spent on. Yet we allow our federal government to become a cash cow for too many pet projects in this country, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, while some actual critical issues go unresolved every year, year after year after year, money like this gets allocated for stuff, they're not critical. That's a wish list. That's a wish list. If you and your personal finances, everybody has things they would like to have beyond probably what their means are, except if you got a really nice income or you've invested well and you've got some money. But the average person usually has things that they would like to have at some point in their future, but they can't just buy it right now. Well, that's the way it is with the federal government, except they decide, well, you know, we don't really have the money for it, which we know we don't because of the deficit, but we're going to spend it anyway. We're going to allocate, we're going to give you this money anyway. You know, the people supporting this project in particular says it will create jobs in the community. Well, it might create temporary jobs, but they'll disappear once the project is completed. And who's to say that the company that gets the contract will even need to hire people for the job? You know, we never know who, I mean, of course, the Freedom of Information Act, people probably could find out, but very few people actually look into how money is being spent once it's awarded to particular areas of the country for specific projects. Kind of like the cylinder thing under Barack Obama. That was one of the most famous ones in recent years because of the millions of dollars they gave Solyndra to create create a business for solar panels. I think they were in Washington State or maybe it's Oregon. I don't remember. But anyway, they ended up going bankrupt. But the people involved in the company, the officers ended up taking a lot of money out for themselves before they went bankrupt. And people just seem to forget about that. Like it, well, you know, that doesn't really matter. It's kind of like all the money that was given to crooked people during the pandemic, got the COVID money that weren't supposed to get it. They cheated the federal government, or actually they cheated the taxpayer, you know, screw the federal government. They cheated the American taxpayers by taking money that they, you know, created schemes to where they could get money, more money, number one, than they should have ever gotten, if they should have gotten anything. And we blow it off and we go on and then we keep letting the federal government do the same stupid stuff all the time. That's nuts. That's nuts, people. Because these kinds of projects are always touted as job creators and revenue creators for the areas in which they are planned. But does anybody ever really go back and say, how many permanent jobs are created by building a freaking 4.5-mile trail in the woods in Atlanta, Georgia? It might be a booster shot. It might be something to give them a shot in the arm for a while. And those people that are there, they may spend a little money in the community. But it's just temporary. And that's something, again, you know, all the people across the country, people that will never even have the opportunity to step foot on that Michelle Obama trail are paying, having money taken out of their checks, their payroll every week or every 2 weeks or once a month, whatever the procedure is, you know, where you work, to pay for this trail that they'll never see. Why should they have to do that? Why should we have to pay for a wax museum? I think it's in New York City. May not be there, but you know, there was $2 million in the omnibus bill for a wax museum, and I can't remember where it was. I'll probably have that on another show. But if these things are really revenue creators, then local communities and businesses, along with their state representatives, should raise the money themselves. That money should be raised by the state and the communities that they are needed in, or that the people say they're necessary for, because they're the ones that are going to benefit from it. These communities take taxpayers' money from other states across the country. Yet these other states will never benefit from that. How do they benefit from that? And you should benefit from the money they take out of your pocket. money they take out of your paycheck. I know I'm actually ranting on this much longer than I expected to, but that's how passionate I am about this. I don't understand it. And am I on an island? Am I the only one that cares that they take money out of payroll checks to pay for stuff for people that'll never actually see them, see those projects? Now, I know we should be, taxpayer money should be used for federal highways and so forth. Certainly bridges, you know, major bridges across the country. But I know, like here in our county where we are in Georgia, I think we started 10, 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, they started having these referendums on during elections where you could vote for what they call it a SPLOST tax, where it was an extra one penny, I think. Yeah, I think it was a cent that was added to every, you know, all of your, the stuff that you buy. Wasn't an income tax. It was a, it's escaping me right at the moment because I wasn't going to go down that road. But anyway, we approved adding a cent to the sales tax. That's what I was trying to think of, a penny to the sales tax. That would be accumulated and used to do projects across the county, like replace bridges, to pave roads that normally wouldn't get paved or wouldn't get paved as quickly. So we approve this, and every year we see these projects going around our state. Why should somebody in Oregon have to pay to pave a road in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area, or anywhere in Georgia? Why should they have to pay for that? That's not what the federal income tax was supposed to be for, but that's what the people that we keep putting in Washington, D.C., they use that money for power, and they use that money for influence a lot of times, mainly for their own good. We're trillions of dollars in debt. And when we end up talking about a lot of these major expenditures that were in that bill, I hope that you're as pissed off as I am about it. I hope that whatever state that you live in, even if you might personally have benefited from one of these projects, that you'll understand that, you know, maybe this isn't right that people in other states have to pay for stuff that's just for the benefit of the people in this particular community. You know, get your butt out there and raise money yourselves. You know, get your local businesses to contribute. Get the rich local businesses to contribute. Now, there's plenty of money here in Georgia to do these kind of things. That's the way this stuff should be done. I mean, it's our money that they're spending on pork barrel projects. And there's not going to be an end to it if we don't put an end to it. And we got to stop it at the ballot box. It's just going to be business as usual in Washington, D.C. if they don't think we care or they don't think we're paying attention. And you know how I am about paying attention. Anyway, like I said, I'll address some more in the future. Again, I don't care what they call the trail, but right now I'm calling it a waste of money, a waste of American taxpayer money. Okay, here's a story of hypocrisy by the Democrats and their media handlers. And unfortunately, some Republicans get sucked into this as well. There was a story by Chris Pandolfo for Fox News, cites Republican Representative Victoria Spartz of Indiana, came out strongly against House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's plan to kick some of the Democrats off their committees. Now, that's already happened, but I don't know whether she went through with that or not and did not support McCarthy's plan. If she, I mean, I don't know whether she voted against it or not, but McCarthy had made a promise before becoming Speaker that he would remove Adam Schiff and that he would remove Eric Swalwell and he would remove Ilhan Omar from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Swalwell and Schiff on the House Intelligence Committee. And that's almost laughable. Anything that you attach Adam Schiff to and Eric Swalwell, and it has the word intelligence in it. I'm sorry. I just got up a notification here and it vibrated and it caught my attention. Is laughable as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, Representative Spartz is protesting such a move, saying two wrongs don't make a right. She was referring to former Speaker Pelosi and her unprecedented move to during the last Congress to remove Representative Green and Gosar from their committees without any due process whatsoever. So Spartz says, I spoke against it in the House floor 2 years ago, and I will not support this charade again. Of course, Speaker McCarthy, she went on to say, Speaker McCarthy needs to stop bread and butter circuses in Congress. What I don't know what that is. Anybody know what stop bread and circuses in Congress? I'm not sure what that is. And start governing for a change. Of course, Representative Spartz was not the only one that said she wasn't going to support McCarthy in the move to remove those individuals. Nancy Mace of South Carolina said she would not support it either. And like I said, this has already occurred now. I actually put this in a couple of days ago and hadn't had a chance to use it. So I know he has removed them because Adam Schiff has already been on TikTok complaining about that. And that, which is kind of funny that he's on TikTok. But McCarthy's been questioned about that move. And I think most of you know, if you listened to me when I started this season, I wasn't a big fan of McCarthy becoming Speaker. He wouldn't have been my choice if I'd had a say about that, which obviously I don't. So I have to say that I was pleased when I saw his response the other day. I guess it was an impromptu thing. Again, every time I see him talking, he's in the hallway, of the Capitol building. He's not at a podium or anything. He's at a hallway and he stops and talks to reporters. So this is one of those instances, and he was responding to, I think it was a PBN. I think it was public news. Reporter was asking him about, how he felt or how he could justify removing these people. And he responded, and I want to play that real quick if I can pull it up here. And you may have heard his response, but I since it fits with this segment, I'm going to go ahead and try to do that if I can key this in right. So bear with me. Here we go. Maybe. Well, that's obviously not Speaker McCarthy. Where in the world did that come from? Okay. Obviously I've got a little bit of a problem there. Let me take that out. See, let me try that again. All right.
Intel committee. Is Santos on the Intel committee? Am I allowing Schiff to be on other committees? Go right ahead. Because you have direct power over, you also
is something that means you should be removed from the intelligence committee, but why is it not a factor?
Well, let me be very clear.
This is a man who should not be on committee, something you do have power over.
He's got elected by his district, so. Okay, let me be very clear and respectful to you. You ask me a question. When I answer it, it's the answer to your question. You don't get to determine whether I answer your question or not, okay? In all respect. Thank you. No, let's answer her question. You just raised a question. I'm going to be very clear with you. The Intel Committee is different. You know why? Because what happens in the Intel Committee, you don't know. What happens in the Intel Committee, although the secrets are going on in the world, other members of Congress don't know. What did Adam Schiff do as the chairman of the Intel Committee? What Adam Schiff did, use his power as a chairman and lie to the American public. Even the Inspector General said it. When Devin Nunes put out a memo, he said it was false. When we had a laptop, he used it before an election to be politics and say that it was false and said it was the Russians. When he knew different, when he knew the Intel, if you talk to John Radcliffe, DNI, he came out ahead of time and says there's no intel to prove that, and he used his position as chairman, knowing he has information the rest of America does not, and lied to the American public. When a whistleblower came forward, he said he did not know the individual, even though his staff had met with him and set it up. So no, he does not have a right to sit on that. But I will not be like Democrats and play politics with these, where they removed Republicans from committees and all committees. So yes, he can serve on a committee, but he will not serve on Intel because it goes to the national security of America. And I will always put them first, all right? And if you want to talk about Swalwell, let's talk about Swalwell, because you have not had the briefing that I had. I had the briefing and Nancy Pelosi had the briefing from the FBI. The FBI never came before this Congress to tell the leadership of this Congress that Eric Swalwell had a problem with a Chinese spy until he served on Intel. So it wasn't just us who were concerned about it. The FBI was concerned about putting a member of Congress on the Intel committee that has the rights to see things that others don't because of his knowledge and relationship with a Chinese spy. They brought it to the works of the leaders. I've got that briefing. So I do not believe he should sit on there, that committee. And I believe there's 200 other Democrats that can serve on that committee. So this has nothing to do with Santos. Santos is not on the Intel committee. But you know what? Those voters elected Schiff, even though he lied. Those voters elected Swalwell, even though he lied to the American public too. So you know what? I'll respect his voters too, and they'll serve on committees, but they will not serve on a place that has national security reverence because integrity matters to me. That's the answer to your question.
Okay. Sorry about that. I don't know how in the world the music got in there, but as one of my favorite songs, just not the right time for it. So he basically explained, I thought he did a good job of explaining why Swalwell doesn't belong on there, why Adam Schiff doesn't belong on there. I can't believe anybody, even Democrats, I can't even, they may want him on there because they want to know what's going on, but I can't believe that they honestly think that he belongs on there. I mean, it's obvious that he lied about a lot of things. He may not lie about everything, but he lied about a lot of things, and he knowingly lied about a lot of things, apparently, from the way things played out. So anyway, I'm not going to talk any more about Schiff and Swalwell because he pretty much covered that. And the only one he didn't address in this particular question and answer session there is Omar, Ilhan Omar. And all I can say here is if you've listened to Trash Talk in the past, you know how I feel about Ilhan Omar. And it's really because of her rhetoric over the past several years about different issues within our country and talking down about our country and denigrating this and that. And just basically, I mean, there's no one that can listen to her except her own supporters that would say that she doesn't sound anti-American. I mean, I would challenge anybody to say differently. But she and some of her cohorts in Congress continually push socialist ideals. They talk about it like, this is the way we need to go. This would be better for everyone. But they push these things because they want to change the heart and the soul of our country. They want to make this country into a socialist type of country, which is odd when you have people that probably the only reason they are where they are is because they're in this country with all the opportunities and the freedom that we have to even be anti-American in this country. I mean, we don't have a law that says you have to be American. I mean, American supporting. You can live here and hate America. You can live here and talk bad about America. You may not have a lot of friends or supporters, or you'll probably piss some people off, but you can do it legally. So the very system that allowed her to be that kind of person that she is the one that she's trying to tear down. But they have a right. She and her supporters have a right to talk the way they do and express their views the way they do. And they have a right to say, this is what we'd like to see happen. I'm not saying that she doesn't. But we as Americans who love this country, and even with its faults that need to be fixed, obviously, we still don't believe we should be going in the direction that people like Ilhan Omar and others like her want us to go. Hating police, demonizing police. And of course, a lot of people are upset with her because of her views about Israel, which is considered to be one of the best allies of the United States for a number of reasons. So all things considered, how can anyone calling themselves a Republican object to removing these three representatives from such important committees? Again, McCarthy said, doesn't mean that, you know, these people can't serve on other committees, but we just don't want them serving on these committees. And he openly said, you know, there's other Democrats that are qualified to work on those committees. So, you know, he's not just purging these Democrats because they're Democrats. In my opinion, what he's doing is taking out the trash and trying to replace it with something that will actually work. So that's where I stand on that. All right. I saw this story on Fox News by John Sundholm. It's about a story that was posted on Your Tango several days ago. And in case you don't know what Your Tango is, which I had no idea, and I always like to look at these things because if I give you a reference to something, I'd like to at least be able to tell you what it is or what it might be. But Your Tango is described as a female-founded and largely female-led, purpose-driven, publisher-focused on love, relationships, emotional wellness, and self-empowerment. That's what Your Tango is. So this woman obviously tweeted something and that got picked up and put on Your Tango. The title of it is, of this article by John Sundholm, is "Woman Complains About Today's Work Culture After Working a Corporate 9-to-5 Job for Only 6 Months." According to the article, a woman posted on TikTok recently that the 9-to-5 career grind is so unpleasant she's ready to chuck it all after just 6 months in her very first corporate job. This TikToker, Julia Huyn, I'm hoping I'm saying it right, H-U-Y-N-H, that's what I'm going to pronounce it anyway, who goes by the at Jiggly Julia is how she's on Twitter, I guess, says that something needs to change, Julia's saying this. about this whole capitalist plan of working most of your life away in an office. Let me just stop right there. I don't know who told this person that she has to work in an office all of her life. But anyway, that's what she's saying here. The reporter writes, her complaints probably seem entitled to those who have been in the workforce for years and years, or even decades upon decades. The TikToker's complaints center on work-life balance, saying she has little energy once her 9-to-5 is over. Really? Well, gee, I've been experiencing that for years. Hoon states, I'm literally 6 months into my first corporate job, and I already want to quit. But she is quick to point out that her job itself isn't even the problem. So she doesn't hate her job. She claims her job is ideal. If you look at it at face value, she says, and she says that she doesn't mind the work she does and loves her coworkers. She goes on to say that after a week of working hours that are more like 8-to-5, and sometimes even 5-to-5, and I don't know many office workers that work 5-to-5, 12 hours shifts, unless they're working in a law office or something of that nature. But she is so exhausted by Friday that she can't do anything on the weekends anymore. Oh my gosh. You know, one good night's sleep on a Friday night won't put you in the mood to or give you the energy to do anything on a Saturday or a Sunday. She says something has to change with corporate work culture because her job is consuming too much of her life. She goes on to say, I'm not going to go through my entire life working for like 40 years. And then I wake up one day and I'm like, wow, it's been 40 years and I have done literally nothing. And I would say, well, you've supported yourself for 40 years. You've made a living for 40 years. And sometimes that's all people can do. It may seem sad to a lot of people because some people have a better life than others, but, you know, at least if you work for 40 years, you know, somebody wasn't having to take care of you. So why doesn't she just quit? Well, for the same reasons most people don't. I won't have any money, Hoon says. So how am I supposed to live? What am I supposed to do? I don't understand, she says. So the reporter, Sundom, finishes the article with, yeah, that's kind of how it works. You have a job to get by, to have things to help support your family. Sundom says that the U.S. Department of Commerce calculated that some 47 million Americans quit their jobs in 2021, a phenomenon now called the Great Resignation. I'd never heard that before, but that's what he's saying. Seems all that time stuck at home in 2020, pondering the prospect of having done literally nothing in life, to use Hun's words, had an impact. Some experts say it's precisely because of complaints like Hun's. The jobs on offer just aren't fulfilling or well-paying enough for people to return to the pre-pandemic way of life, especially given how inflation is effectively erasing wage increases. You know, one of the problems I have reading stories like this one is that I, like Sundholm hinted to there in his article, I've been working for more than 50 years of my life. I've had a number of different jobs, especially in the first 10 years or so of my working career as an adult, and I didn't like all of them. I think the worst one I ever had, I only worked there one day, and I hated it so much. I said, I didn't say I can't do this. I said, I don't want to do this. This isn't what I thought I'd be doing. I'm sorry for wasting your time, but I can't do this. So that's the only job that I've ever had for that short a time, and literally just quit without giving it a chance to see if it got any better. And like a lot of people, And some of those jobs, I didn't really think that they were paying me enough. And I can tell you back in the 70s and 80s, there wasn't a big push to, you know, for pay increases and paying people for what they were worth. But I had to work. I had bills. I had a family that I needed to help support, obviously. So there never was an avenue in my life that would keep me from having to work for the things that I needed and wanted. The alternative to not working in my life was a road that I didn't want to have any part of. So, but like Hun said in the previous story, government appears to have taken on a role. I'm sorry, that was Sundholm. Sundholm said in the previous story, government appears to have taken on a role as providers for those who cannot or will not provide for themselves. And I agree with that. I hear it over and over again. Let me throw this in. I'm getting close to my time here that I wanted to wrap this up, but I want to throw this in because I used to watch this guy's program all the time, Dirty Jobs, a guy named Mike Rowe. Some of you may have seen him, but he was interviewed by Tucker Carlson. In fact, he was on Tucker Carlson several times last fall, around the holiday time. But he was on November the 17th, if you're interested in going back and trying to catch that show where he was on there. But anyway, Rowe discussed the lax work ethic in the labor force that he has encountered, as well as the growing number of able-bodied men who are not seeking jobs. I mean, this was a topic of discussion on November the 17th. He stated He stated that 7 million men between the ages of 25 and 40 are not only not working, but they're not interested in entering the workforce. That's never happened in peacetime before, he said, ever. So Rowe also spoke about the lack of appreciation for blue-collar work in America. Most of us have never really realized it, but we've always intuitively appreciated it. We know that when we flip the switch and the light comes on, that that's the result of a miracle. And that miracle is made possible by men and women doing things out of sight and out of mind. Rowe expresses his view that COVID-19 had something to do with the situation we find ourselves in today, but it also can be traced to the fact that too many young people have decided to drop out of the workforce for various reasons. Rowe finished by adding, if we don't fix that, we're on that part of the map where it says, here be dragon, because we don't know what's coming next. I've never heard that term before, but it seemed to fit for his discussion about this topic. So I had another one I was going to add in here, but I'm not going to use that one tonight because I want to move on to my closing things here. But it's when I was in school, and I know things have changed a lot since I was in school. You know, I'm the old guy. And us old folks in this country experienced things, some things that we experienced, you know, probably should have been forgotten and should have been changed and done away with. But then there were certain things that we had to do when we were in school that probably somehow or another all got erased. You know, there was a point somewhere in this country where the mindset of young people was that, to be successful and to make lots of money and to be happy and to have things, we got to go to college and we've got to get degrees and we've got to go to work for firms and you know, make six figures right out of the gate and, you know, and then just going on up and up and up from there. And a lot of people weren't going into the trades anymore. We had wood shop and metal shop when I was in school. Now, you didn't learn how to build a house and those silly things, but you got a taste of working with your hands, and it gave people who really didn't have a desire to go to college, you know, something else to think about that they might be able to do. Not that many of them, you know, went on to work in wood shops or metal shops, but it's just, it was the idea to give people a taste of something that they could work and do with their hands, and make money at it at some point in their life. But we got away from that. It seemed to be, and like Mike Rowe said, I think a lot of people in this country don't appreciate the people who actually do have to work with their hands and do physical things that make everything else in life for people who don't do that a reality, like your power, like your water, like your gas, like the air conditioning services, all these kinds of things that it takes people that actually didn't, you know, and a lot of that takes very extensive training. I mean, most air conditioning people would probably put some people who went to college and got a degree to shame if you actually know what you're doing and you're trained properly. So there's a lot of work with your hand kind of trades in this country that really require you to be smarter than a lot of people that go to college. But there seems to be a lack of appreciation for that. Now, it's actually bumped up during COVID because a lot of people experienced things, and there was a shortage of help. There was a shortage of people working. So these trades actually were able to bump up the money that they charged people for doing various repairs and services on their homes. So, you know, they kind of benefited from that as well. But that's what Mike Rowe's talking about. We've got to change the mindset in this country. We've got to get back to thinking that there's other ways to make good money. You may not get filthy rich. You may not get a Lamborghini or something if you're, you know, an air conditioning service technician, but you can probably make a very good living if you're good at it and you have a good work ethic. And you should be able to have, you know, a lot of things in your life. So that's what he's saying. But there's apparently so many people that don't want to go back to work now that there's concern. And we're letting 2 million people come across the border, which is going to actually add to the flood of people that are out there that could potentially or should potentially be working. And that's going to become a problem in the very near future, I'm afraid. So, all right. Moving on from that, I've got a what the hell story for you tonight. This is a story from Fox News as reported by Andrew Mark Miller. And he reports, and this is my weird story for the night. He reports multiple companies in Texas are facing a lawsuit for employing a janitor accused of urinating into employees' water bottles and thereby infecting more than a dozen victims with sexually transmitted diseases.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said when I read that. The lawsuit stemming from the October arrest of janitor Lucio Catrino Diaz, there I go with names, was filed on behalf of 13 women who say the janitor urinated in their water bottles on the job in an East Houston office building, which resulted in positive tests for the herpes simplex 1 virus. And this is as reported by KRIV-TV, I guess, in Houston. In a press release, Houston law firm alleges that the companies employing the 50-year-old janitor permitted and disregarded the janitor's disturbing conduct. The lawsuit says that several women noticed their water bottles smelling and tasting foul in August of 2022, which prompted a woman to set up a hidden camera that captured Diaz approaching her desk, setting his supplies down, and rub his penis on the interior and mouth of the water bottle.
What?
On the interior of the water bottle? Okay, I'm not sure about that one. But anyway, the woman says she sent the video to the building's management company and she was told something would be done about it. However, according to the law firm's press release, no action was taken and Diaz was captured later on video doing the same thing. So not only is he some kind of pervert, he's an idiot. Okay, anyway. 6 days later, on October the 3rd, tenants in the building were notified of the incident. It's not only terrifying, but somewhat humiliating for them, said an attorney who represents one of the women. He was allowed to come back in, and he continued to conduct himself this way, and who knows how many people picked up their water bottles during that 6 days and were affected by his actions, the attorney said. According to KRIV-TV, Diaz has admitted to rubbing his genitals on the water bottles of the female employees and was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. The janitor's bodily fluids containing the incurable STD were considered a weapon in the charges. You know, I don't know. I mean, that's awful. It's sick, number one, that a person could actually do this to a number of people, and one would have to wonder what his motivation was, you know, if he was mad at these women or something, or if they rejected him or they didn't treat him like he thought he should be treated. I don't know, but there's no excuse. But I find it hard sometimes to understand what happens in people's minds that they think something like that's okay, or they just don't care about anybody else. But I don't know about you folks, but if I'm drinking out of a water bottle, a soda can, or even a glass, whatever it is, I try to never let them out of my sight. Now I don't work in an office anymore. There was times that I did, but, you know, it was so long ago. I doubt seriously we had anybody, with those kind of ideas in their head back in those days. But, even now when I'm working outside a lot or around people's houses, if I'm drinking something, you know, if it's not with me, if I don't take it around with me, I secure it or I just throw it out. But most of the time, if it's a water bottle, it goes with me wherever I go, in my pocket or in my tool pouch or something of that nature. I do not leave it out of sight. And there's usually no one around that could even do anything to it. Of course, I have to worry about bees and wasps and flies and all that stuff in the spring and the summer getting into water bottles and Coke cans. If you've ever had a wasp or a bee go into an unattended Coke can and then you try to drink out of it, it's a scary experience if that's ever happened to you. So, you know, I'm very cautious about that kind of stuff. So, you know, after reading this story, I tell you, I had to put it right up there with, what is this world coming to, folks? What is it coming to? All right, before I close the show tonight, I want to share a couple of tweets that I saw on Twitter. The first one is by Isabella M. DeLuca, or it's at Isabella M. DeLuca. She tweeted, why is talking about sex with adults at work considered sexual harassment, but talking with kindergartners about sex in school considered necessary? Now, I think that's a legitimate question. In fact, I would add the word educational. Why do they think it's educational after necessary? You know, the woke-minded radicals in our country want to redefine normal so that when they try to impose their ridiculous ideological, that's hard for me to say too, changes on our society, we'll be less empowered to resist. If they make it normal, then we can't complain, right? That's what they think, folks. They're going to keep trying to make all of these things that they want to change in our society normal, and then at some point, if it's considered normal, then nobody can complain about it anymore. I guess that's their mindset. The second tweet is by at Dr. Lupus, L-O-U-P-I-S, at Dr. Lupus. She tweeted, "This craziness needs to stop," which was a response to a tweet by at, what is it? She scrubs up. So I bet it's a nurse. That's what it looks like. She scrubs up. So at she scrubs up. That's she. So anyway, Dr. Lupus was responding to that when she said this craziness needs to stop. So she scrubs up tweeted, "Having a period is not a feminine thing. People of all genders menstruate, including all non-binary and agender people. And of course, plenty of men." Okay, I'm not a doctor and I don't have any medical training, but all I have is common sense and basic knowledge of female anatomy I've acquired over the years. And I have a problem when somebody says that men will fall into that category. Now I'm talking about biologically born men. Okay. So there's all kinds of versions of men today, but I see what Dr. Lupus was talking about. So those are the two that I'm going to share with you. Oh, wait a minute. Let's see. Did I have one more? Okay. There is one more tweet. I'm sorry. This one is by at Penny underscore Rietveld, Ritveld, Penny Ritveld. I'm not sure. Hers is short. It says, "Why are we running out of money for Social Security and Medicare and not for welfare and illegals?" It's a good question. I agree. I would add, why are we running out of money for these programs, yet we find billions of dollars to send to foreign countries, millions of dollars for Michelle Obama Trail, and $2 million for a wax museum, just to name a few. So it's a good question. I don't think actually anybody would attempt to answer it in the federal government. But it's not that the federal government doesn't take enough money away from the taxpayers. It's just that they want to keep spending money in such a way that they see fit that it's not enough. It's not enough. And it never will be. And we should have learned that lesson by now. All right. That's going to do it for this episode of Trice Talk. I've complained enough about stuff tonight, but I appreciate you spending time with me tonight and listening to this podcast. If you have, I have no way of knowing whether or not you have until I see how many people downloaded. But hopefully I've shared a few things with you tonight that, well, if nothing else, it's food for thought. After all, it's the sharing of ideas and information that help us make informed decisions in our lives. And I would say, you know, if once I start doing the live broadcast, if there's anybody out there that wants to challenge me on things, I do have an open mind. But, you know, if you're going to challenge me on stuff, you need to do it with a little bit of a background and a little bit of facts to see if you can get me to change my mind about something. As always, I encourage you to do your own research on any of the topics that I present on Trice Talk. I try to reference everything that where I get my information, my stories. I do not make these up myself unless I tell you that I'm telling you a personal story. But anyway, if you liked tonight's episode, please hit the like or follow button on your screen. Also, if you like Trice Talk, I would greatly appreciate your subscribing to this podcast. I promise you that as time goes on, I'll be doing some new things that I hope and think that you will enjoy. Be sure to check out Trice Talk on Facebook and or follow me on Twitter at Trice Talk with, or this WG Moon. I always want to say with, that's what it means, but Trice Talk WG Moon is the Twitter handle. I generally post comments on my pet issues daily. Most of the time I'm retweeting something. I'm commenting and retweeting, tweeting more water, please. Someone else's comments on things, because I love looking around at some of the insane crap that people tweet. And I know, again, it's a lot of times it's their opinion and they have a right to it, but I have a right to think that it's insane if I want to. If you have friends or family that enjoy listening to podcasts, please tell them about Trice Talk. And if you want to comment on any of the subjects presented on this podcast, please feel free to send me an email at tricetalk69pts@gmail.com. I also will put that on the show notes when I post the show. So you can get it off there if you're not writing it down now. I'd love to hear from you. Even if you've got negative things to say, just, you know, be honest with me. Don't be nasty. You don't have to be cruel. Just be honest and tell me what you like or don't like, or what you would like for me to talk about, or what you don't enjoy me talking about. All right. So I got a quote for tonight. I'm trying to set something up as well. And try not to hit the wrong button here. But tonight's quote is from Coco Chanel, if any of you know who that is, but it's the fashion perfume lady, which I don't know if she's still alive or not, but you know, the brand is still there. But she says, success is often achieved by those who don't know that failure is inevitable. Let me say that again. Try not to stutter. Success is often achieved by those who don't know that failure is inevitable. In other words, they keep trying, even though the chance of failure is pretty high. All right. Till next time, please pay attention and get involved, because after all, we are the solution.